Good evening, folks. Welcome. Welcome to the June 18, 2019 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Roll call of members.
Ann Corman.
Proudly present.
Mike Lane.
Equally proudly present.
Leslie McBean Claiborne.
Well, all right then. I am present.
Dave McKenna.
I'm here.
Gwen Morey.
I am here.
Mr. Mike Sigler has asked to be excused. Shauna Black.
Here.
Amanda Champion has also asked to be excused. Deborah Dawson.
Humbly here.
Henry Granison.
Here.
Rich John.
Here.
Anna Kellis.
I'm here.
Dan Klein.
Here.
Martha Robertson.
Here.
12 members present.
I would just like to take a moment first, before we do anything else, to ask for a moment of silence for Bob Spaulding, who was the Caroline Town Supervisor for two terms, a long-term figure in the community, and died suddenly this past week. As the obituary said, he and his wife, Edie, who's still active, were sort of joint realtors, and they called themselves spouses selling houses, sort of how I knew them. But especially to recognize Bob's public service, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence. Thank you very much. And I'm going to do a little bit of reordering of things tonight. I do first have to ask, say that I'd like to ask for an executive session at the end of the meeting to talk about real estate negotiations. But then the next thing I would like us to do is to take up the appointment to the Veterans Services Office of Tompkins County and hand it over to Jason. Then we'll do a bit of other reordering some other measures as well. So, Jason.
Thank you, Martha. So what I'll do is explain the process that we've gone through, and before introducing the candidate, if you'd like to go to closed session, offer that opportunity. Otherwise, then I can go forward and discuss the candidate and credentials. The process over the past month, we've interviewed candidates for the director of... Yes?
I was just wondering if you could explain why people were looking, why Leslin left the room.
Because there's a relationship between the candidate and Leslin.
Thank you.
Over the past month, we have an interview. We've interviewed candidates for the Director of Veterans Services. We received 37 applicants, conducted 8 phone interviews, and selected 4 candidates for personal interviews. One finalist dropped out of the interview process, and we interviewed 3 candidates as finalists. Included in the interview team was Legislator Shauna Black, Legislator Deborah Dawson, our Director of Office of the Aging, Lisa Monroe, Deputy County Administrator, Amy Hendricks, the Commissioner of Human Resources, Amy Guerrieri, James Jenke from TC3, Nancy McKeon from the VA Outpatient Clinic, and Meadow McDowell from Soldier On. Both James, Nancy, and Meadow work with veterans in their respective field. You all have the candidate. I sent the candidates information. Is there any concern that you'd like to go into closed session now to discuss?
Absolutely not.
No. Okay. After that process, we unanimously agreed on William Claiborne Jr. as the selected candidate for the position. Most of you know him as J.R., J.R. Claiborne. J.R. has a good history in terms of, obviously, for any person being considered for this position has to be a veteran. J.R. served several years in the United States Navy and is a veteran of the United States Navy. After that, he served about 6 or 7 years with as a reporter for the Ithaca Journal and also then as an assistant editor. Following that, he went on to have several posts at Cornell University and Ithaca College in marketing and communications. To his current employer for the past 6 years has been Loaves and Fishes, where he's been an advocacy coordinator. Also, J.R. has spent 10 years formerly on the City Common Council as a council member. With that, the relationship obviously with J.R. Leslin is J.R. is Leslin's husband. As a result, under county policy, we are required to do a nepotism compliance plan and agreement. You have all seen the compliance plan and agreement. I've had conversations with both Leslin as well as J.R. in that agreement. Among several things, Leslin agrees to remove herself from the Human Health and Human HHS Committee, which is the committee that reports that the Director of Veteran Services reports to. So what I would ask at this time is that you consider JR's appointment, and with that confirmation, you also approve the nepotism compliance plan and agreement that's in front of you today.
Thank you, Jason. So this is we need a motion.
Motion to confirm the appointment as well as approve the nepotism compliance plan and agreement.
Okay. Thank you very much. Moved by Deborah Dawson, seconded by Mike Lane. I am delighted that we are considering the appointment of the first Veteran Services Officer for Tompkins County, long overdue. And I know when Jason came a year and a half ago, he said, why don't we have this office? And I'm really glad that we've made this happen. And it's a real pleasure to welcome JR to the Tompkins County family. So absolutely. I'm assuming that's how the vote will go. So is there any other discussion? Mike.
We've had the opportunity to work with JR in various capacities over the years, including when he was alderman. He was an effective voice on the Tompkins County Council of Governments, for example. He has real leadership qualities, and I think that he'll be a great veterans officer for us.
Thank you, Mike. I do have a question. JR is on the Program Oversight Committee of the Community Housing Development Fund, representing the city. Uh-huh. So
We can figure that out. Okay. We'll look at any conflicts that may come up.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Sure.
Of course, I know our advisory committee policy that's on the agenda tonight might make that clear.
Sure.
Anything else? Ready to vote. All in favor of the appointment and the agreement, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Don't get off so easy, JR. Come on out. Would you like to say a few words? Yeah, that's good.
Wow, I'm almost embarrassed to come up here now and say something. After how many years of doing it. I just want to say thank you. I think to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the confidence that you've all in giving me by bringing this position in a unanimous vote. Thank you to Jason and the committee members. A lot of the questions that came up during the interview process really still sit with me because they were things that helped me look back on some things that make me understand how much more important this position is. I'm the son of a veteran. I have many close family who are veterans, and as I shared too, I've got some of my friends still from my Navy days that we keep in good contact with, and it's really amazing when you look back at the statistics. I brought this up in my interview. It's one thing when you hear a statistic, it's another thing when you become part of that story, and to realize about 5 years ago, a group of us who were still friends, we were on a phone call, and to turn it to an intervention to try and talk a friend down. 2 years later, we were burying a different friend. And so it's really something that to me underscores the importance of the need for someone that helps connect the dots for veterans. There are a lot of things that we as veterans need. There are a lot of things that we always don't realize that we need. And it's good to have somebody who is in place to connect those dots, make those connections, build that network for them. And so I'll probably be bugging you from time to time to ask for what I can do more and better and ask you to introduce me to your friends who are also in the veterans community. But I just want to say that this is truly a great honor, and I will do more than my best to do my best for you and for Tompkins County, and I ask that you please don't hesitate to let me know if there's something that you need me to do, as well as asking our veterans community to also reach out. Thank you all.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you.
Thank Thank you for your service in the Navy, for your service through Loaves and Fishes and Common Council, and we certainly look forward to having you be part of our team. Starting date, do we have an estimate?
Probably towards the end of July.
Okay. And JR will be located in the Office for the Aging Building, is that right?
Right. Right now we're working on having space available for the Veterans Service Agency at COFA.
Okay.
Office for the Aging, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And with that, we're going to say see you later to Jason.
Someone can invite Leslin back in.
Somebody can invite Leslin back. Okay. And Jason has a very important nursery school graduation to get to in Ulysses.
Yeah, Trumansburg. My son's graduating from nursery school, so I'll be back in a little bit.
So,
congratulations, Jason.
Give Bubba our congratulations. We are.
Yeah, valedictorian right there.
Okay.
Good for him.
We'll see you in a little bit. Don't drive too fast. Okay. Thank you very much. I think we have public comment. I'm gonna move some of the resolutions around also so that staff can go quickly. But let's start with public comment. I've got a few people here who filled out blue forms. By signing a form, the following is agreed to. I agree to a 3-minute time limit. I agree not to raise my voice. I agree not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. I agree not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, I agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. I agree that if I cause a disruption and I'm asked to leave, I will leave the chambers. I'm Gary Argetzinger, and I apologize for messing that up. And then Dick Costello.
My name is Gary Argetzinger, and I'm a lifelong resident of Tompkins County. I'm the master instructor for hunter education, bow hunter education for Tompkins, Tioga, and Cortland counties. I've been a master instructor for 48 of my 50-plus years as a volunteer instructor for the New York Hunter Ed Program. I'm also president of the Tompkins County Federation of Sporting Clubs and a member of the International Hunter Education Program. Myself and the team of 30-some volunteer instructors have taught classes in the previous mentioned counties and in Schuyler, Chemung, Cayuga, and Seneca counties, sometimes as many as 25 per year. All but one, Tompkins, allow the use of rifle as hunting implement for deer and bear in their county. Our team focuses on safety and ethics. We achieve these goals successfully through training exercises in the field and classroom demonstration and lecture, but mainly through field exercises called stations. Topics of high priority are such things as safe gun handling, muzzle control, field of fire, care and cleaning and proper storage of your gun. Knowing your target and what beyond is one of the major ones that we focus on. Know how to aim, proper sight alignment, sight picture, maximum effective range and total range of the round being used, the proper round for implement for the game you're hunting, and your personal limitations. We do live fire training in all courses with one-on-one approach, thus showing the new hunter the importance of having a mentor when you're in the field. It's been our experience that most young hunters and women who attend prefer to use a rifle over a shotgun. They are lighter in weight, thus easier to control the muzzle in the direction the muzzle is pointing in, and less noise when afield, and also less recoil. They have observed these things when being afield with other experienced hunters to decide if they want to take up the sport of hunting. They also have remarked that after attending our classes that it is not about harvesting an animal. It's about getting back to nature, protecting the environments for others to use, and to enjoy keeping the herd in a comfortable, manageable number. Most hunters that I know already own and use rifles, both in surrounding counties and here for varmint hunting, small game hunting, etc., and for outer state hunting. A bullet is dangerous, no doubt, no matter if it's fired from a shotgun or a rifle. The person firing it has to adhere to the ethical and safety lessons taught to him or her that determine the outcome. We as instructors take these instructional tasks very personal and strive to ensure each person we instruct know them thoroughly. I encourage some or all of you to attend one of our courses, even if you don't intend to hunt. You will see the dedication of the instructors and the joy on the faces of the students when they complete the course, and they learn that it is a safe and ethical sport. The courses are free, can be attended by simply contacting myself or the DEC website for hunter education.
Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate your time. Dick Costello and then Susan Holland.
Thank you for having us here to speak to you. I submitted the rifle bill a few weeks back, and I'm sure all of you had a chance to look at it, together with a supplement from the office in Albany. And I trust that you all had a chance to read that. I'm not going to go over all that again. There's a couple of points I do want to make to add to that. Tompkins County has more state land than any county in New York State. Deer slugs ricochet. They have a very high incident of ricocheting, where rifle bullets will decimate and explode on contact. So the ricochet factor in a rifle is considerably less than it is with a shotgun. This was proven by the U.S. Army doing testing in the Dam Neck area of Virginia Beach. Interesting. This next point is very interesting. Cuga Heights, their deer management program is very much under control. They use rifles in Cuga Heights. And so I'm asking you guys to consider having Tompkins County join the other 49 counties in the state that use rifles without incident. They are a more effective tool in many, many ways. And the DEC supports rifles. The conservation officers all support rifles. Gary and I work with many, many conservation officers in the different counties that we work in, and particularly in Tompkins County. I know our two guys here, we work with them on a lot of programs, and they unanimously support the use of rifles, without question. If you contact a conservation officer in Tompkins County, they're going to say rifles are the only way to go because they are safer. And those guys know. They investigate all the incidents, and that's their job. They're DEC police officers. And so, in a nutshell, all of this, it just wraps around one word, safety. That's it. That's why we're here. That's why we're trying to get you guys to see the other side of this. It's something that we know from statistics that rifles are safer. And generally speaking, statistics don't lie. Rifles are safer, have been safer in Tompkins County and other counties, more so than shotguns, particularly Tompkins County, which the attachments that I put to that rifle bill will bear out if you read that. And so, just in conclusion, rifles are safer. I would encourage you to consider this. It's an option. It's an option for hunters to use. It's a good option, a safer option, a more effective option, and thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dick. Susan Holland.
I always have to move the mic. Good evening. I'm Susan Holland. I'm the executive director of Historic Ithaca, the only historic preservation organization in Tompkins County. We're also a partner at the Tompkins Center for History and Culture, a great adaptive reuse of a historic building, and thank you for that. I'm here tonight to speak to the entire legislature about the newest or about to be new Tompkins County acquisition, 408 and 412, 414 North Tioga Street, and 111, 119 Sears Street. We sent a letter to the members of the Downtown Facilities Committee on this subject, and I'll also send it to the rest of the legislature who might not have received it. We congratulate the county on finding and pursuing more space for your operations and agencies and for greater efficiencies. We're also preservation advocates, but I do want to say we're not against new development. I'm going to be saying that all over town, and consider it part of a growing city and part of our architectural history when new buildings are built. That said, we have a preference for the scenarios that Jason has presented, which we saw at Common Council a few months ago, that have been presented thus far. Scenarios 2, 3, 4, and 6, which all seem to be a better fit with the neighborhood and its historic character. We're happy to see 408 North Tioga Street being planned as a preservation project. And housing along Sears Street is crucial. Sears Street was originally known as Goose Alley, and on the 1966 map of Tompkins County, there were residents both along the sides of, on both sides of the street in the 19th century. Also, two buildings, 106 and 108 Sears Street, are part of the DeWitt Park Historic District, the city's earliest historic district. Every attempt in the new development should be made to adhere to the character and setting of the existing neighborhood and its historic character. Single and two-family homes are prevalent here. Affordable housing of this size and type would dovetail well with the existing character of the neighborhood. And parking should be kept at a minimum for the entire project, which appears in the four scenarios that we'd prefer. Since consolidation of county services is a goal, we understand that Building C could also be sold and the lot redeveloped. We want to ensure that good development for that site would be appropriate to its neighbor Boardman House and for the DeWitt Park Historic District. The area has downtown design guidelines which aid in keeping the historic character and integrity. We'll be back to speak about the Boardman House at a later date and if that becomes a reality. We appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about this important project at Sears and Tioga Streets and offer our services to participate in discussions about the new design. I do hope there'll be community forums and as an example, like the recent ones with Ithaca NHS and its Immaculate Conception Project, as a way to engage the community members and stakeholders. We look forward to participating in this endeavor to produce the best possible outcome for the county and the city, and thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Is there anybody else who'd like to address the legislature from the public? All right, municipal officials, I see Doug Sinuen in the corner over there. Hello, Doug. Good evening. Thanks for coming.
Hello. I just came from a Transit Awareness Day event where Scott announced, and we haven't voted on this yet, but we are going to eliminate Zone 2 fares and have a flat fare for the entire county as part of our continuing mission to make transit more equitable and allow people who are forced out of living near the downtown core a more affordable way to get to work. So thank you to Deborah, Dan, and other board members for working on this. So at our Common Council meeting, as you may have heard, we passed our vague and lofty sustainability goals, Green New Deal. We approved the Carpenter Circle plan unit development in concept contingent upon another round of design. And we gave the mayor the authority to negotiate with Lime an MOU on e-scooters contingent upon legalization by New York State, which we expect to happen tomorrow, if all goes well. So the Planning and Economic Development Committee, I'm not on it, but they will bring to council next month, if you're interested, a rezoning of three blocks of West MLK Street. This brings the street front down to 32 feet, three stories, for the first 15 feet, and then also reduces what used to be a zone that allowed for six stories, now only allows five stories. The plan unit development for Immaculate Conception, INHS's affordable housing project on that block. A rule for new housing within a certain radius of the Ithaca area wastewater treatment facility to alert potential renters and buyers that they are potentially living near a sewage plant. They passed the IPD, Tompkins County Sheriff's study proposal to council, and had a discussion on infill that we should get more details on shortly. I also wanted to bring up that next week, on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, on Monday and Tuesday, they're 5 to 7 p.m. On Friday, it's 12 to 2 p.m., all at City Hall, is the presentation on 2020 Sidewalk Improvement District, the sidewalk plan. So you may know that we have homeowners or property owners have a fee that they pay that goes into sidewalk improvement district funds that pay for replacement and construction of sidewalk. And so it's an opportunity for residents of the city of Ithaca to have some input on what they see are the areas of greatest need. There's also a ton of construction happening. It's construction season. So Willow, Lake Ave, and Auburn Street are all getting repaved in the coming weeks. very excited about Lake Ave. And south of Ross Street will be closed for a couple months as new sidewalk is constructed to connect the city of Ithaca with the town of Ithaca. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Doc. Any questions, comments? Anna.
I just have one question. The most recent PEDC meeting.
Can you go into the mic? I know it's hard, but.
Yeah, it is awkward, for sure. The most recent PEDC meeting, there was the discussion of the zoning and for infill, essentially. And I understand after an estimate of that it would essentially allow for a maximum of about 10% of the houses within those three districts being considered to be eligible for infill, which is a pretty small percentage. Is there any discussion about expanding that? Has there been any input? What can members do of the community to, who should they reach out to? I certainly think it's a terrible idea, and it should be a lot more possibility for infill so that we can have small-scale development instead of only the large-scale massive buildings. So I'm curious.
Yes, appreciate that. Please write to Common Council, council@cityofithaca.org. So the Planning and Economic Development Committee is currently studying this, but really you should write all of council so that we can all pressure our colleagues appropriately. You're right, the proposal as pushed, the proposal that they discussed last week is fairly restrictive in that there'd be no backyard infill, there's a minimum of 35% of contiguous green space, and potentially there's some other rules too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yes, it severely cuts down the amount of infill that would be allowable in the city at a time when we still have a significant housing need. So yes, please contact Common Council and the mayor and advocate for infill. So this came about because of a lot of neighborhood opposition, or specific members of the community who didn't want to see this in their backyards or in their adjacent yards. And, we often try to express to them that there are differing opinions on the subject, but some of their voices are the loudest, and it would be nice to hear from other members of the community.
Thank you, Doug. It'd be great to get... Is there a resolution? Is there an actual document that we can look at?
There is. It was in the agenda, but I had extracted those, I think it's like 6 pages of relevant information for someone else, and so I can forward that to the legislature.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Henry.
Doc, with the 10% of infill development, would that be also owner-occupied restricted?
I don't think there's any proposal for that restriction. People have talked about that, and I can't remember exactly, but there's a question about enforcement or how to determine that that's the case. But that is a subject that people bring up repeatedly.
Okay.
Anything else for Doug? I wanted to acknowledge the email thread over the past few days with Jeff Goodmark and Svante and geez, I think you were on it. I'm not sure.
How's that?
About Lyme bikes. And we, based on the last, what was said the last meeting, I had started out by writing Tim Logue, transportation director, and he kind of said about the placement of Lyme bikes in the public bike racks, and he kind of said, well, it's not that hard to move them. I mean, it's better to have them there than just scattered all over. And I said, actually, it is kind of hard to move them, and it just doesn't seem that's up to the, if I'm just coming up as a member of the public to use a public bike rack, it shouldn't be my job to move the thing. But anyway, then he ended up saying, well, talk to other people. I ended up writing to Jeff Goodmark of Lawn Bike, and he did put out a message to customers reminding them to park next to bike racks but not in them. But then there was also the issue. He raised the issue of the corral, of the corrals that had been proposed last summer. So is there going to be any interest in bringing that back up again and trying to do it in a more in a more inclusive manner so that business owners and the public can weigh in on where those corrals would go?
Yeah, I think that'll the public input will have to be part of that process going forward, just because there was so much controversy last time. But I agree with you on multiple points, that they shouldn't be in bike racks. There's no need for them to be there, so they shouldn't be in bike racks. I did confirm in the app that that notification pops up before you scan a bike, warning the user about where to park, although it happens once, and I think once you dismiss it, you don't see it again. So I'll talk to Jeff about maybe renewing it every month or something like that.
That'd be great. And maybe talk to Tim Logue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Tim, as you know, in that thread said, or someone said, oh, it was Samante, said we're in the midst of a parking study, and so we'll study that as part of that. And I think that's mostly fine, but I agree with you, though, that there is kind of an urgent need that I'd rather see them out sooner rather than later, so I will push that. You know, that's my opinion, and I'll push that point, but we'll see.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Anything else for Doug? All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for showing up again here. We appreciate your time. All right. Legislators? Shauna.
I just want to note that this month is Pride Month, and it's really important that we recognize this month for those of us that are LGBT plus. Each one of us has gone through our own battles. I'll start out a little bit by talking about what I've experienced over my lifetime. Being raised in Houston, Texas, I did experience quite a bit of discrimination to the point that I was not out in my community. I met my wife whenever I was 19 as a sophomore at Texas State University and moved up here. And for 5 years, we were roommates to my family. Whenever they discovered that we were actually a couple, I was disowned for 5 years and did not speak to any of my family members. My wife and I, in 2004, welcomed our first child. Whenever my daughter was born, I had to adopt because my wife physically had our daughter. And every time we left New York State, we had to travel with a binder full of legal forms so that I can make legal decisions and hospital decisions on my family. When our second kid came around, we had to do the same thing, and same for the third kid. These are things that I think many people take for granted whenever you start a family. And fortunate for us, we were able to afford to have attorneys draft up very expensive healthcare proxies, adoption forms, and we were fortunate to be able to do that. 3 years ago, my wife and I were able to finally get married after being together for 20 years. And I certainly don't take that for granted. But every time we have a Pride March, every time National Coming Out Day comes out, I really am reminded at the struggles that we've had in the past, the struggles that many older people have fought before me. And I recognize that we're actually still very much so in the trenches. In Arkansas and in Florida, LGBT people cannot adopt children, cannot adopt foster children, cannot foster through their local programs. And I just really think that we have to be aware, and I do ask that everyone recognizes some of the struggles that we've had in the past.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you so much for that statement. We appreciate being reminded of how important this month is. Thank you. Anna and then Annie.
Yeah, I wanted to second that. Thank you so much, Shauna, for bringing that up and having the courage to share your story. It's really important. I did want to speak to another group, and I hope Annie will continue the conversation that Shauna just brought forward, but I'll just interject one other topic, which is quite disturbing to me, and I wanted to speak to, which is the news that came out very recently from our president about a roundup that is intended next week of immigrants in the country, a mass roundup
that has left many, many people in our community, including people with green cards, all gamut of immigrants in our community, dejected, hopeless, scared. Many people who have children who are citizens, not willing to go to doctor's offices, not willing to go to school, not willing to go to work. I find it appalling and atrocious that we do not have a plan in place. We do not have policy that is a pathway to citizenship. That would be an honorable solution. This is a disgusting response. I would add that some of the things that we have done in our history, direct food aid that then led into transitioning to, when oil prices were high in the 70s, to transitioning to using the World Trade Organization and the World Bank for countries in the global south, creating a debt or loaning money to countries with conditions on that money to countries that would require that they would remove any protections of their borders, that free trade would be opened up into their countries, and that led to massive influxes of international corporations, including agricultural industry at large scales. The impact of that on small-scale farmers, family farms, led to many of them losing their farms at mass numbers. There's a tremendous amount of information on increased suicide rates among farmers in the global south as a response of some of the things that happened over those decades. What happened in response? They looked for jobs in places where their jobs. Where are their jobs? There are jobs here in the United States. So to say that people are here taking jobs from Americans and that all immigrants are criminals, which I have heard way too often, is appalling. And to not recognize our own hand in what has happened and the need for people to seek jobs in our countries where they might not have intended or wanted to is sad. So I hope that we can all support conversations about policies that are just and logical. Roadways to citizenship would be one of those. And I personally will end just by saying that I want to acknowledge that the city of Ithaca is a sanctuary city, that we passed a public safety for all resolution stating that we would not engage in the actions or enforcement of federal immigration law, and that immigrants here are welcome. They should feel welcome, and I personally hope that we can do all that we can to make sure that the immigrants in our community feel safe and protected and respected. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Annie.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Anna and Shauna, for talking about Pride Month. I wanted to specifically thank Shauna for being vulnerable and sharing, you know, a little bit of your story. And it's important that we still hear these stories. And when I wasn't going to talk about myself, but I want to follow up since I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 57. And when I was very young, it was like 19 or 20 when I realized I was gay, and I did not come out to my family for many, many years, and took roommates home and friends home and couldn't share that this was my partner. And that was very hard. It was awkward. It was very hard. I wanted to also say that when I was young and I was first realized that I was gay, and for many years, it really wasn't an option for people in my age group and older to have children. And that was one of the hard things about being my true self, because for me at that time, it was you were straight and you could have children, and I really wanted to have children. I come from a big family, or I could come out and be my true authentic self and be gay and not have children. And later, when things changed, it was too late biologically. I had had some medical issues, and biologically I wasn't able to. And then my wife tried to get pregnant, and again, it was too late. She was too old, and so we weren't able to help children. We do have foster kittens, but that's not quite the same. And I'm very lucky I have many nieces and nephews, but again, it's not the same. Anna spoke about immigrants, and a large percentage of the immigrants coming from Mexico, South America, Central America, are LGBTQ because of the persecution and the threat of death. Never mind just being ostracized. I mean, they have physical threat. So that's why a lot of them are coming. It's not in the news very much, but that's a big reason that a lot of people are coming here. We also, the flag policy is part on the agenda today, when this has been brought up, this has come through different committees several times, and sometimes people have made fun of the policy, so I just want to put that out there, and I would like people to not make fun of it, that we need to have our special days or a special month. It's important because of the struggles we've gone through. So I would like just people to be respectful of that. It's our need, and I was taught that if you want to help somebody, you ask them what they need, and this is what we need, so please be respectful of that. Okay, going on to, I wanted to thank various municipalities for raising the Pride flag this year. Several of them have done them multiple years. The Village of Trumansburg, the towns of Enfield, Lansing, Caroline, Danby, Dryden, and Ithaca, the city of Ithaca, and also especially I wanted to thank Tompkins County for putting up many. I think we have at least 7 Pride flags around, so thank you for that. And lastly, I'm going to remind folks about Pride Weekend, and if anybody from the audience wants a card on our events coming up this weekend for Pride Weekend, I'm on the board of Finger Lakes Pulse, and so we have on Saturday night, we have 3 national comedians coming to town, and Sunday at Cass Park at noon, we have a Pride picnic that everybody is invited to come. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Annie. Appreciate that. Appreciate your story. Rich John.
Thank you, Martha. Shauna and Anne, thank you for sharing really personal stories. And I would comment, we certainly are going to have a discussion about the flag policy. And I have some issues with using taxpayer money. As you know, we had that discussion at committee. But that's not to say that it's really good that we're flying the flag. And I think it is a great recognition of what we can do as a country in terms of changing our attitudes, that we have come a really long way, and this is a good thing. And I mention that because I wanted to comment further on what Anna was talking about with immigration. It seems like we're going to a darker and darker place in trying to speak to each other on the issue of immigration. This is nothing good for us as a society, I believe. Seeking refugee status, seeking asylum, are legal processes. Our laws allow people to come to our country and ask for entry and consideration as refugees and asylum seekers. I look at the last line of our national anthem, the home of the brave, we refer to ourselves. We should not let our national policy be governed by being frightened, totally based on fear, and as a result, developing immigration policy that really is based on cruelty to the least of our brothers. I find it appalling. We need we need to reach across the aisle. We need to communicate on this issue in a responsible way. As our, I think our airport director is with us, we've had many discussions about how our community is a welcoming community. And frankly, that's been one of the guiding policies in our big argument about our airport. But it goes further than that, that our faith-based community has long been ready to accept refugees in our community. And we haven't had that inflow. At the same time, the states on our southern border have a ton of refugees and asylum seekers that are waiting there, and they're carrying the burden. As patriotic Americans, we should, frankly, having passed our resolution, implicit in it is that we are ready to accept asylum seekers and to help them, not disproportionately, but as Americans, we should be making a clear statement that we will help carry that burden for all of our country. And I'm sorry to go on at some length on this, but it just upsets me so much that we can't even seem to discuss this issue on a national level in any kind of responsible way. And we're certainly not anywhere near Republicans and Democrats reaching any compromise that's going to get us to a better place. Unfortunately, I think that's going to be the case through our next presidential election, and it's just going to get worse, and that's good for nobody. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Leslin.
Thank you, Martha, and thanks, everyone. Rich, it's an erosion. We're careening very rapidly into eroding laws that are on the books, and it's very fearful. I think we have to get to that place where we begin to remind each other that we're talking about human beings and not objects and not a thing, not a refugee or an undocumented, whatever that is, but we're talking about humans. And until such time as we get back to recognizing that these are people and acknowledge it as such, we're going to continue down this really frightful road. I'd like to thank you, Shauna. Thank you, Annie. I feel a little bit of guilt and shame in some respects that every year for a long number of years I've brought before this body at the beginning of June a proclamation recognizing and honoring Pride Month, and I didn't this year. And I feel bad for that. I guess I was waiting for someone else to do it. I don't know. I have no idea why that didn't happen. It should have. Because although it's on the calendars, it's on the books, we know we often have to remind people. And my daughter reminded me. We were out at the Ithaca Festival, and there was free button making, and she's making a button with the rainbow flag. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "It's Pride Month." Just plain, just simple. Forgot to do the proclamation. We should have, and all of us should take responsibility for making sure that we remind our citizens the importance of honoring, celebrating our fellow human beings who are LGBTQ+. Another thing she reminded me of. Plus, because, again, humanizing is extremely important, then we wouldn't have to fear that it's something else, and so we have to hurt it and kill it and do all the things that we that people have been doing. So, like I said, I feel a sense of shame for having not done that. Not too late. We can always recognize, even in words, on this day, that we are in the middle of Pride Month, and we want to encourage all of the citizens of Tompkins County, like we would have done in our proclamation, to respect, honor, and celebrate as such all of the achievements and contributions that members of our community and citizens of our community who identify as LGBTQ+ have given to our community. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage older citizens to please respect, honor, and celebrate as such. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Anna.
Just one quick announcement in response, Rich. You made a statement, and I just wanted to note that in May of this year, the First Congregational Church of Ithaca was declared itself a sanctuary church and has pledged to, quote, provide shelter as needed for any undocumented immigrant who is seeking sanctuary while the legal challenge to deportation is in process. Just want to make sure everyone knew that.
Thanks, Anna. Anyone else? Annie?
I wanted to also thank legislators that were here before Shauna and I, such as Kathy Lou Herrera and Pat Pryor. There might have been other ones, but I do know those two women, and I wanted to thank them publicly for paving the way.
Thank you very much. All well said. Really appreciate it. Anyone else? All right. I would just add that on immigration, it just feels so profoundly hypocritical for anybody who's not a Native American. Pretty much everybody else came from somewhere else, not all voluntarily. We understand that, of course, but it's hard to describe the hypocrisy, but it's also a really dumb policy. We have rural areas that are emptying out and need people to come. We have farms that are mechanizing because they can't find people to pick the strawberries or milk the cows. We find health care facilities that can't find workers, child care workers. So many jobs are really going unfilled, and we have people who want to work here, and it's there's so many things that immigrants of all stripes bring here. They're very often hugely entrepreneurial. I mean, they're sort of by definition courageous. They left everything behind and they took risks and came here. So it seems to me just sort of dumb, really dumb to have that kind of an attitude. But Leslin.
Well, Martha, thank you for that. Here's a simple something I just remembered when you said that. I have the a privilege of serving on an interview committee as a diversity rep, I don't know, for a different municipality. And one of the gentlemen who was interviewing, and one of the people, I remember it was a gentleman or a lady, who was interviewing, was speaking of his experience on the farm. And speaking of the amount of education around diversity that he received from being among the farm workers, the immigrant farm workers. And then he broke into speaking two different languages and said he learned how to be a fluent speaker of two languages from our farm workers. So no, they're not just here pillaging and robbing and hurting people. Here's a simple example of something that could help change the world. And this gentleman, was a gentleman, I can't remember, anyway, who was talking about just that experience. Let's talk about what a profound change it made in his life of seeing people differently. I mean, it was amazing to just be there and witness that. So I just wanted to share a simple example of we just got to stop this. You know, we just have to, and we all have to speak up on it. We just can't be hiding our hands and saying it's not my problem.
Absolutely agree. Not to stereotype that immigrants are in certain occupations. They're doctors, lawyers, engineers, all sorts of
all sorts of occupations and talents and skills that they bring here and make us all richer and better off. All right, let me just jump into an Albany report. This is the last week of the session in the State Assembly and Senate. And yesterday I went to the, at the end of the meeting, there was a meeting with the Chamber of Commerce. Charlie Krasanski from Cornell's Public Affairs Representative in Albany came and was working with, talking with municipal leaders, and I know some of our planning staff were there, Lansing planning staff were there, about, you know, how to get things done in Albany. I was able to get to the end of the meeting and chat with Charlie, and he said, you know, there's a lot going on that the legislature is trying to prove that they can get a lot done. So even though there seems to be a lot of loose ends still, it feels like they're going to wrap things up with a lot of major legislation in the next maybe 24, 48 hours. So included in that appears to be our emergency services surcharge. Looks like it's moving ahead. Looks like our home rule bill on housing is moving ahead, and there's a good chance that a third county court will be included in a wrap-up bill. So I've got a message from Barbara Lifton, who's working extremely hard on this, that with that they've introduced Assembly 8425 that calls for 4 new judges in New York State, 3 new Supreme Court judges downstate, and Tompkins County Court judge. She's the prime sponsor. So it ain't done yet, but it's definitely moving ahead. So fingers crossed. And I know, folks, we weighed in on the climate protection
Climate and Community Protection.
Climate and Community Protection Act. I was contacted today by the governor's representative, Carly Norton, that apparently they are about to vote something called the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. So, So they took some of the words from the governor's bill and some of the words from the legislature's bill. And it's so it sounds like that's about to go forward. It would create a climate action council comprised of heads of relevant state agencies and authorities and legislative appointments. The goal would be an 85% percent reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from 1990 levels by 2050, and net zero emissions in all sectors of the economy. So I'm not sure how those go together, but they'll be looking at transportation, agriculture, land use, et cetera. They've got agriculture on the list here, yeah.
Wow.
Climate justice group will be created, and there are some identified here that a great deal of investment will go towards communities that have been disadvantaged by climate pollution, by environmental justice issues. They will codify state goals to reach zero carbon emissions in the electricity sector by 2040. Install 9 gigawatts of offshore wind and 6 gigawatts of solar by 2025. They better get it going. And 3 gigawatts of energy storage by 2030. So those are ambitious goals. We look forward to working with the state to help make those things happen. So that's what I've got. Any questions on any of that? Okay. Thank you. County Administration, Deputy County Administrator Lisa Holmes, do you have a report for us?
Maybe just a brief update that last week the County Administration Department, Jason and Kevin McGuire, did the budget launch to the county department heads and to agencies. So shared with departments and agencies the assumptions that are going into the targets for the 2020 budget and the budget database is open, and departments are now preparing their budgets with a July 17th deadline for administration review. And I think that's about all I have to report on.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Any questions for Lisa? Any questions for Jason? She'll pass them on. All right. Thank you very much. Bill Troy, County Attorney's Office.
I have nothing to report.
Well done.
Wow, that was
you've
really
learned
good
from the NAIF. That was like four extra words. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. And Rick Snyder, Finance Director.
I don't have a formal report, but I would just like to bring you up to date with two things. Last night we had our auction, and it went very well. I'll be bringing you a formal report at the July 8th Government Operations Committee meeting, and then be bringing the legislature that report after everything's finalized on July 16th. We did have 12 properties that sold, and we had a very good turnout with some very good weather. Our total proceeds that came in just on the purchase price bid was $854,500 as far as money coming in. When you add the current taxes that those new owners have to pay, which is just not delinquent taxes, but the most recent current taxes, that brought it up another $112,000 for total revenue coming in, or total gross proceeds of $966,700. So that was about $1 million that came in through our doors last night. There are expenses which include, of course, the total back taxes and the auctioneer fees. So when you take out all the expenses that we have on record so far, including back taxes, which is the biggest portion, that's a negative number, which is $570,000. So when you net the $570,000 against the $966,000, it looks like we have a gain for the county of $397,000. That was our big activity last night, and we had a number of people there that were new for the first time. We had a sheriff's deputy there, I think, which is a good idea from here going forward, because we've always had some people mention safety and security concerns. So we did have a sheriff's deputy. Of course, Drew is there, my deputy, to pick up and learn a lot about the auction process. And we had, of course, Melanie from the Treasury Division and Lisa, her assistant, which was her first auction. So we had a bunch of new people working the auction last night, and all in all it went well. I'll be bringing you all the facts and figures with all the moving pieces at the July GO meeting and at the July legislative meeting. The only other thing I'd like to announce is that we're still bringing the financial report to the Budget Committee this Friday, 9 o'clock. So if you'd like to tune in and hear the auditor's rendition of the highlights of 2018, you can come to that meeting this coming Friday at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Rick. Annie?
Thanks for your report, Rick. I just want to say thank you for doing the auction and all the amount of work that led up to that. And I want to thank you and other members of the county from your department and the assessment department. And if there's anybody else to thank, please let me know. That worked with people so that properties, as many didn't have to be foreclosed. And so I really appreciate that. And I got a little bit of the inside of that. It was really amazing. It made me proud to be representing Tompkins County in that aspect, that we don't just go, okay, there's back taxes, we're going to foreclose. Did everything that I could possibly think of and that you guys could possibly think of. So thank you very much for helping people with that.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Let's go to the consent agenda. Then I'm going to ask for the facilities resolutions, Dave, so that Mike Hall can have some evening left. All right, if there's anything to first, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right. What? Dave, do you have a resolution? Here we go. Is there something in you got it? Which one, Kathy? Got it. Okay, in your red folders, Resolution M.
Bear with me a moment. Okay. Okay,
Resolution N, M, I'm sorry, ID 8701, authorizing county administrator to enter into memorandum of understanding with Cornell University and the town of Ithaca to realign Pleasant Grove Road and Credit Farm Drive. And I would move that.
Seconded by, is that Leslin? Leslin McBean Claiborne. So add it to the agenda. And all in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous, and that'll go on your agenda for the committee report. Okay. Anything else? Thank you. All right. Let me know if you have anything to pull off of the agenda. Resolution A, authorization to accept funds and budget adjustment, environmental health incentive award, health department, ID 8684. Resolution B, approval of amended bylaws, recreation partnership, ID 8681. Resolution C, authorizing an intermunicipal agreement among the counties of Cayuga, Cortland, Jefferson, Lewis, Madison, Onondaga, Oswego, and Tompkins for public health, ID 8679. And Resolution D, authorization to execute a three-year contract for the Personal Emergency Response System with Doyle Medical Monitoring, Office for the Aging, ID 8660. And a couple of appointments to the Youth Services Board, Tamara Elsherbuggy, Magdalena Smith, and Austin Cusick. And to the Mental Health Community Services Board, Travis Winter. Is there a motion for the consent agenda? Moved by Anna, seconded by Deborah. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Those are all unanimous. Thank you very much. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dave McKenna.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we have Resolution F, ID 8694, and that is revised as adopted by the committee prior to this meeting. Award of bid, new 5,000-square-foot general aviation customs facility, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, and I would move that.
Seconded by Glenn Morey. Discussion? Nothing? Okay. I have a question about the responsible bidder. This is the... Oh, there was only one bid. Okay, there was something else where there were two bids. Okay. All right. Annie?
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment of something that was said coming out of the committee that met earlier today, is that this is a little, the bid's a bit higher than we would like to see, but we do have a deadline of getting this done before the end of the year, and it's in the height of construction season, so if things had worked out different, but there was things beyond our control. So I appreciate my call at the airport and, you know, doing the best they can to expedite this.
Thanks, Annie. Anything else? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Okay, now we have Resolution G, ID 8695A, authorizing award of bid and anticipated receipt and acceptance of Federal Aviation Administration grant for the purchase of one multitasking equipment, snow removal equipment at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, and I so move.
Seconded by Anna. Discussion? So this is where I noticed that there was a slight difference in the bids, but the M&B did not, or MB didn't meet the specs. Was
in the memo.
Okay. What, Mike? Didn't fit in the garage. That won't work if you have to rebuild your garage. Okay.
That's next year. Just kidding.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion for G? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
Resolution H, ID 8696, revised as adopted by committee, authorizing award of bid in anticipated receipt and acceptance of Federal Aviation grant for rehabilitation of taxiways A and C, Phase 1 construction, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, and I so move.
Seconded by And this is the one in our red folders, the revised by, as revised by committee?
Yes.
Okay. Seconded by Annie. Discussion?
I was wondering, do we need to do anything because it's a revised one? Do we need to move that?
No.
No? Okay.
That's what Dave's moving.
Okay.
That's what you seconded, right?
Yeah, that's the one I seconded, okay. The revised one.
All right. Discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
Okay. Resolution I, document ID 8690, authorizing the use of contingency funds to support the cost of the 2020 State Route 13 corridor study, and I would move that.
Seconded by Mike Lane. Discussion. Mike Lane.
Just wanted to remind everybody this was money we put into contingency last year for this study at the budget process. We've now gone through the selection process, and we're negotiating the contract with Barton and LaJudas to do this work. It's under the amount of money that we originally put away for this, which was $200,000. This study will take a hard look at that section of Route 13 from the village of Dryden Line to Warren Road. It'll look at things like the safety improvements that might be necessary along that corridor, how we have better access or limited access, safety for things like our mass transit buses that are on that corridor and pedestrians along there, multimodal issues. They'll be making recommendations to the municipalities as to changes in zoning laws that could protect the road from things like too many driveways, for example, and the installation of access roads or driveways that are consolidated into one place or the other. So they'll be looking at a lot of things here, and we do have an oversight committee that not only are legislators on that, but it's directed by Fernando de Aragon and Katie Borghella. We have representatives from the town of Dryden, the village of Lansing, and also New York State Department of Transportation are all on this oversight committee. So it's going to be a good working group, and we hope to come back with some useful information to everybody.
Thank you, Mike. Any other discussion? All right. Contingent short form roll call.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous. Thank you. All right, and Mike, Dave, you want to take Resolution M?
Okay, Resolution M, ID 8701, authorizing county administrator to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Cornell University and the town of Ithaca to realign Pleasant Grove Road and Crudette Farm Drive. And I would move that.
Seconded by Glenn. You want to, since we just got this, Dave, you want to give us an intro? Or anybody else? Dave? Shauna, okay.
So this is actually in my district, and I met with some constituents last week. What they're looking to do is actually move one of the roads over a bit to produce a pedestrian walkway on Pleasant Grove so that it's safer for people going up and down that steep intersection there. They're also going to be adding some paint to the asphalt to produce a crosswalk right at the intersection of Forest Home, Warren, and right before the bridge.
Okay. Mike Lane?
I think they said in committee too, Dave, didn't they, that this has to do with the North Campus project so that it's going to make it safer up there. And that's why Cornell is involved.
Deborah?
Well, I was at the ITCTC joint meeting today, and this came up. Apparently, the county's in on this because Pleasant Grove is a county road. This sort of revives the idea of a North Campus gateway in connection with the new construction, as Shauna said. But one of the things that came up is that the concern by some people from the village of Cayuga Heights as to how this might impact traffic in Cayuga Heights. And the Cayuga Heights representative was going to get with Bill Goodman about this, and Bill Goodman was happy to throw the county under the bus and say, if you have a problem with this, you should contact someone at the county. As this goes forward, who should Cayuga Heights contact about their concerns?
I would say Jeff Smith.
Okay. Yeah, there, apparently there was some problem with getting in touch with Jeff, so I just didn't
call notice. Early. He's usually out on the road.
Call early? Okay. Thank you.
Shauna?
And also the meeting that I attended did have Bill Goodman and Jeff Smith, so I do believe everyone's on the same page. It might just be a matter of who the best contact is for your friend.
Yeah.
I heard... I guess it was from Gary Stewart. They were talking about this as really beefing up the road into the campus. That the Credit Farm goes kind of by the observatory, and they want to sort of really make that clearly the main road into campus, as opposed to sending people down the little bridge, down that windy hill into the bridge into Forest Home. So it sounds like a real enhancement, and it's. It's a pretty major change, actually. You know, so I'm
it's
glad.
It's pretty tight turn there at the top of that.
Yeah. No, and that's a funny, and even the entrance into North Campus, for me, it's always sort of invisible. There's something about that intersection, like you know, is that really the way in? So I'm glad they're really paying attention to it as they work on North Campus. So.
Okay. I don't think they really want people going down along the creek.
No, that's right. It's good to steer them away from that. Anything else? All in favor of Resolution M, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. And Dave, if you want to go ahead, if you've got any other report for your committee.
That was really it, other than we had a meeting tonight that encompassed pretty much everything that was going to be on the agenda this month, so there will be no F&I meeting for this month other than the one prior to this meeting.
So that normally would have been what day?
Thursday at 1.
Thursday at 1.
This coming Thursday. Okay. All right. Anybody want to complain about that? No? Okay. All right. Good. Thank you very much, Dave.
You're welcome.
All right. Public Safety Committee. Rich John, Chair.
The Public Safety Committee has not met since our last legislature meeting. We are meeting this Thursday at 3 o'clock here in chambers, and we will be considering a couple items in particular. One is we'll be looking at a resolution on allowing hunting with rifles within the county, and that you've heard two speakers on privilege of the floor visiting with us on that issue, so we'll be having that conversation and see if we're ready to get to a vote on it. We're also going to be considering a resolution to approve going forward with the study. You heard Duxon speaking to that the city had considered it on their side and had passed it. This is a study of the possible co-location of the Sheriff's Road Patrol and Civil Division at the same location as the City Police Department. The study would consist of an architectural and engineering look, but also an operational study on how the two departments would interact with each other. And particularly, I believe it would look at the issues of being able to do central booking and central arraignment, which would be a pretty significant change to the way people are handled within the criminal justice system. It would also perhaps save a tremendous amount of money, but also operational time for officers on parole. So it's a pretty big issue to be looking at this Thursday. We'll be talking about it.
Thank you, Rich. Questions? Mike Lane.
Rich, on the rifle bill, or rifle resolution that you mentioned, I, for one, as a legislator, would want to have a public hearing of some kind on that issue if we wanted to move it forward to find out what the public thinks about it.
I wouldn't have an objection to a public hearing if we wanted to get.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Discussion of the facility with proposed facility with the City of Ithaca. The report that we've already seen had one site as the proposed site. There have been a lot of discussions since we had that joint meeting with the city and about possibly looking at other sites or relooking at some of the sites that had been considered by the consultant in the first place. What's the feeling about that? And have you talked to Seth, for example, who is chairing the city side of it?
I have not talked to Seth specifically on that. I guess my view is certainly we should be comfortable that the site that was chosen was the appropriate one. And in looking at the information that would be gathered in the two studies that we would undertake, architecture and engineering, and then operational, it would make sense to look at some of the other locations. And certainly if there was a consensus that another location was better. This is a big decision. This is a costly decision in terms of money and in operational change. So we should be really careful about it, and that would, I think, entail checking what's been done so far to make sure we're heading in the right direction.
Okay. And remind me, who's kind of the client, this committee of these two studies, who would sort of be the overseeing, directing the work?
I don't think we've really gotten that far. What the resolution says is that the two governments agree we're going to go forward with this study, and then there's a direction to the staffs of the city and the county to prepare requests for proposal to go out to consultants for the two different studies, so that it really would fall to staff to figure out who's going to take the lead on it. And maybe they do recommend we do it together, but it could be one of the offices manages the process.
So we'll get the scope, we'll come back to the committee?
Right, that's up to staff to create a scope.
Okay.
The scope of services, I think, was the term used.
Okay. And where are we on the existing conditions study for the jail?
I believe that's going to come before the Public Safety Committee at our next meeting, not this Thursday, but the one after, for consideration. I know that Arel from our facilities department is working on that. It's in the queue. But that does, while this is a difficult issue to think about, it's more complicated than that, because in parallel, we will be looking at the current conditions of our jail. And just for members of the public that may be watching, our jail was built in 86, 87, it opened, and so it's 32 years ago. It has had some pretty hard use in that time. It served us well, but in terms of its current state and, frankly, its design, we probably will need to be looking at what we want to do with our jail at the same time. And it's quite possible that we'd reach a unified decision on both the co-location decision and our future of our jail in this process. But they may line up, they might not. It depends. But that is coming up soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Rich. Any other questions or comment? All right. Thank you very much for your report. Health and Human Services Committee, Shauna Black, Chair. And I just want to mention that as part of the nepotism agreement, I'm afraid that Leslin has been asked to resign from HHS because that's the department, that's the committee that oversees the Veteran Services Office. So
she appears devastated.
We're reluctant to let you go there, Leslin, but I'll make sure that we, Sean and I, will make sure that there's quorum and, you know, whatever else the committee needs for the rest of the year.
Okay. Thank you for your years of service. We will have a party on your behalf. You're invited. You're invited.
With the first meeting.
I would actually like to turn this over to Henry. He has a resolution that he drafted, and this did pass HHS with a unanimous vote. So, Henry?
Okay. Yes, I'm proposing resolution supporting women's reproductive rights. ID number 8691. And it's really just to support the issue of Roe v. Wade, as it's under attack from many different sides, many different states. And so this is just a reaffirmation that we are protected in New York State since they did pass a law, but many people are not protected in other states. And this just sends, this sends our affirmation that we wish other people were protected.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Discussion. Annie and then Deborah.
I just want to actually second what Henry said, and thank you for bringing this forward. Wholly support it.
Deborah.
I just wanted to thank Henry for doing this. So I'm not LGBTQ+. I'm not a person of color. As a white woman, I'm probably a fairly privileged member of the social order, but I sure don't feel that way under the current administration. And I would appreciate more support from men in my community. So thank you, Henry.
Anna?
Deborah said that absolutely beautifully. I couldn't have said it better, so I won't add, but thank you, Deborah, for the words, and Henry, thank you so much for helping to protect women's rights.
And my thanks as well. I'm really grateful that you took the time to put this together and bring it to us. Thanks, Henry. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Thank you all. That's unanimous. Thank you. Anything else, Shauna?
Yeah, as far as our report, we met June 7th, and we passed quite a few resolutions. Also wanted to make a small announcement that the Office of Human Rights will be hosting two movies for Pride. It's going to be a little bit late in the month of July. The first one will be about the about Stonewall, and then the second one, the day after, will be about Audre Lorde. So I think the dates will be confirmed over the next few days, and we're also going to have panelists, and the Human Rights Commissioners will be hosting this and invited. So we're really excited about that. The second announcement is that our next meeting is July 5th at 9 a.m., and Dr. Paula Ioannidis will be joining us from Ithaca College. She's done extensive research on banning the box, as far as having the question on employment applications that ask for criminal history. And so she will be presenting her findings as a researcher and professor at Ithaca College. She's also going to present to us a scenario if, as a county, we would like to do a local law, what that would look like, and the implications for our county. So feel free, all of you are welcome to join us July 5th at 9 a.m. I know it's early, but I promise you this one will be worth it.
It's not that early. And you have is there a day for the Human Rights Commission that they're having their meeting with Gwen Weber-McLeod?
Yes, that is actually
July 17th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tomorrow evening, 5 to 7, all of us are meeting with Gwen. It's in your email inbox. It's been, well, not me. I know. It was the one date I couldn't do
it. This book club.
At my house. I kind of have to be there. So tomorrow evening, 5 to 7, and that's Neil Jail? Where are we doing
Old
that?
Jail Conference Room.
Old Jail?
Yep.
Okay. I hope everybody else can come.
Of course.
All right. All right.
I just like to pick on you, Mark.
I was the first one.
I have foster kitten clubs, so I'm not sure.
It's at your house.
It's at my house. Not the meeting with Gwen, but the book club.
It's at Martha's house, so I can come.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Anything else?
Nope.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you. Deborah.
Welcome.
Okay. All right.
So I do very quickly want to say how much I appreciated serving on HHS.
you know, for years, Martha knows this, Mike probably does, I avoided HHS because a big part of my previous life as a consultant was working with a lot of the human services agencies. So I had contracts with many of them in our community. And so I just felt it was a major conflict. So now that I cleared all of those up, got rid of all of them, and decided it's okay to be on HHS, now you boot me off. I feel a certain kind of way.
Talk to your husband.
You have to blame it on your husband.
But I do appreciate, yeah,
I think,
you know,
the problem is closer to home.
So I do appreciate, in all seriousness, having had the opportunity to serve in HHS. The work that comes through HHS is near and dear to me. And thank you, Shauna, for mentioning the movies that the Office of Human Rights will be showing. I'm glad to hear it's happening, and I'll try to be there. Thank you.
And let me just say, I looked at the list, the other committee lists, and as far as switching Leslin with somebody else, and I felt uncomfortable middle of the year to try to twist somebody's arm to move. But if anybody would like to switch from what they're doing, from one of their committee assignments to HHS, Deborah. No. I saw Shauna poke you. No.
Deborah doesn't have book club, so I think she has time.
I read.
So if anybody would like to reach out to me and let me know, yeah, I'll be happy to switch to HHS and work that out with Leslin. Please let me know. But at the moment, we're just we're going to run one person down on that committee. All right. Thank you, Shauna. We've done Facilities, Government Operations Committee, Mike Lane.
Government Operations met on June 6th. One of the things we talked about was the capital expenditure for the HR payroll system that Greg Potter has been working on. That's a hugely complicated program that we hope is going to help our Department of Finance and all throughout the county have a better way of reporting and keeping track of payroll and all the deductions and all the things that we have to do for so many different kinds of employees. We spent probably most of our time on the various administrative policies that we have before us tonight. Again, thanks to County Administration, Lisa. We appreciate all the work that you and the others over there have been doing on this. And so I'm going to move, I think, right to that resolution, unless there are questions, and we can start talking about policies.
Any questions for Mike? Okay, go for it, Mike.
Resolution J. Resolution to update the Administrative Policy Manual, Policy 0607, Procurement Policy, and 0826, Advisory Committees and Advisory Boards appointed by the County Legislature. Policy 0135, Submission of Plans for Approval by the United States Government and or the Government of New York State. Policy 0801, Preparing Resolutions and Policy. Policy 0146, Flying of Flags at County Buildings. This is all ID 8675, and I move the whole group.
Thank you, Mike. Seconded by Deborah. All right. Anybody want to start on, where do you want to start? Anna.
I would like to make one amendment to add to the list of flags. So add the women's suffrage flag in honor of Women's History Month.
And that's packet page 28. So that would be item J on under D1.
Correct.
Is there a second? Second by Shauna. All right. And that is the month of March. Women's History Month is the month of March.
Is that friendly, an amendment?
That's Mike and Deborah, did you second?
No, I find it friendly.
Okay. But that's friendly. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Anything else? Mike Lane, and then Rich.
Probably the most sweeping policy update here is out of Department of Finance, the procurement policy. And I think it's important that we thank the folks in that department for bringing that forward. I know it's been a tough change for that department and bring it to update that policy, and we appreciate the fact that so many people worked on that, Rick, and your department. It adds the ability for us to attach to more of the bidding that's done by other municipalities, for example, and can save us some money in the long run. So we appreciated that. I just wanted to point that out. The one we spent the most time on, of course, was the flying of flags at county buildings. And if I've been guilty of making light of this, it's only because I'm pretty well aware that this is the kind of policy that will be revisited over and over again. And maybe that's not bad, but that's what it is. I certainly voted for it. But I just want to point out that things like the LGBTQ flag and the Pan-African flag, both were supported by this legislature prior to this policy.
Thank you, Mike. I will have a question about that, about the procurement policy, but I'll go to Rich first.
I would move to separate out, vote on all the policies from the flag policy, so we vote on that separately.
Okay, there's a motion to separate. Is there a second for that? Second by Dan. Discussion? So the idea would be to take all of them except for the flag policy?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor? I will just say I'll support that as a matter of respect for colleagues. So all in favor of separating the motion? Opposed? Hold on. Glenn, you're okay. That fails 4-7. Okay. Rich and then Dan.
I will be voting against the motion. I wanted to vote for the other policies. I have an issue with the flag policy because it calls for the county to be spending taxpayer funds on buying flags for different interest groups. I think we have to be careful about making political statements. I have no objection to the flags, particularly the Pride flag and the Pan-African flag, the Haudenosaunee flag, and now the women's suffrage flag. We also currently include on our list the POW/MIA flag, which I certainly want to recognize and support POWs, MIAs, but it also apparently has been used in support of various conspiracy theories about certain foreign governments. And I also look at issues regarding, say, the Gadsden flag being co-opted by the Tea Party, a political movement in this country, and the Southern flag, and all the controversy surrounding that. I believe we should be very careful about using taxpayer money to make these kinds of statements if there isn't a strong outside support, demonstrated support, for the flag that we choose to fly, the flags we choose to fly. And this version of the policy is calling us to buy the flags and to maintain them. And we could do it on the vote of 8 members here when there isn't necessarily any demonstrated community support. I don't think that's wise policy. So I'll be voting against.
Okay, Dan?
The motion to separate, I interpreted, and I believe this is correct, was so that Rich could vote on all the other policies and vote no on the flag policy. I'm going to vote yes for the flag policy, but I seconded his motion just so that, you know, it's just sort of an administrative move. It's not a statement against flags in any way. So I don't know, maybe some people didn't understand that. Maybe they did. And I'm not sure why people would have voted against the motion to separate. So if I'm not mistaken, somebody who voted against that motion could move to reconsider if we wanted to give Rich the opportunity to vote on all these, yes on all these policies and no for his conscience against that other one.
Hold on, Annie. Is that, or is it somebody who voted?
Prevailing side.
The prevailing side. The prevailing side was the against side. Okay, got it. Thanks, Kathy. So, Annie, is that what you're...
I'll vote to reconsider, or put the motion to reconsider.
Move to
reconsider. Separating the policies up.
Okay, and Leslin seconds that. Okay, that was the way, that was what I meant to say when I said I would support that as well. So, okay, so back on the floor. Mike, did you?
You have to vote on the motion to reconsider first.
Right. Did you have something related?
Dan said what I was going to say.
Okay. All right. So let's vote to reconsider the motion to separate. So understand what we're doing? So we will reconsider, but then we'll have to vote on it again. Okay. All in favor of reconsidering the motion to separate, please raise your hands. Any opposed? All right. That's unanimous. Okay. Now, the motion to reconsider. The motion to separate is on the floor, still moved by Rich and seconded by Dan. Do we do it that way? Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? So without prejudging the votes, this just pulls out the flag policy, and the rest of them are going to get voted on as a block, as a group, and then the flag policy gets voted on its own. Understood? All right. All in favor of separating the motion, please raise your hand. Opposed, raise your hands. That's unanimous. Okay. So now, thank you. Let us look at all of them but the flag policy. How about that? All right. Now, Mike, you were talking about the motion to separate, so you were covered in the last discussion, right? Or did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, I don't have anything more. I'm not sure whether my resolution or my motion is still on the floor or not, but if not, I'll renew it to move everything except the flag policy.
All right, so we might as well do that. Who wants to second that? Deborah seconds that. All right. So everything but the flag policy is on the floor. So I would like to raise a question about the procurement. If there's nothing else, anybody else? The procurement policy, I wasn't clear if it was in here, and I don't have language to propose. But my question has to do with the value of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, sustainability, let's say, of either of buying goods or services. And I didn't quite see that in here. If best value, if that can be considered part of best value, then I'm okay. If we need to add something, then I might work with Katie to figure some language out.
I don't know the answer to that myself. Maybe we can ask Lisa Holmes, our deputy county administrator, if she could respond to that, please.
I can, and Drew and Rick are also here to keep me honest on this, but I believe that that when establishing our own criteria for best value bids, we could consider that among the criteria, so it could be listed. I mean, as there are other examples listed here, these examples include but aren't limited to this list. So I believe the environmental concerns could be added to that list.
Okay. So, for example, under the definition of best value, a procurement method that looks at multiple factors when selecting vendors or contractors, such as quality, service, and expertise, in addition to cost. So would you say you're good with it as it is, and it's sort of included, or should we add language?
I think it's included. If you look at that last bullet point, it says other factors relevant determining best value. Yeah, I think you got the ability. That's kind of a catch-all for anything.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much. Thanks, Lisa. Any other discussion on any of the Drew, did you want to say something? You're leaning forward. No? Okay. Just great anticipation, right? Okay. Any other comments on any of the other policies? All right. To vote on Resolution J as separated with all but one of the policies, all in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. With great thanks to administration for marching through all of these and paying attention to all these details. All right. Mike, would you like to move the flag?
Now I move the flag policy.
Seconded by Anna. So discussion. Rich, did you want to go ahead?
I just wanted to thank my colleagues.
You're welcome. All right. Deborah.
So my question is procedural, and Kathy can probably answer it. Is the amendment that Anna moved, that Mike and I accepted when this policy was part of the entire...
She said yes. It's still...
Yes, okay. It'll be included.
So we're voting on this now with the women's right suffrage flag included.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I want to mention that I had a number of sort of grammatical and punctuation items that I worked through with Lisa and Kathy today, and I think none of them are substantive, right? They're okay. All right. What? I said correct. Okay. All right. Any other discussion on the flag policy? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? One opposed. That passes.
Yay!
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for bringing that forward and working through it. A big job. Thank you, Mike, for taking Gio through all that.
My pleasure.
He said with his
Liar.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, we get it. Okay, and then you've got Resolution K.
Yes, authorizing a public hearing on local law number blank of 2019, a local law amending Article 26, Office of Human Rights, Human Rights Commission of the Tompkins County Charter. That's ID 8689.
Okay.
Move it.
Seconded by Shauna. Discussion?
This is just authorizing the hearing.
All right. And I just asked that in the first line there that office be replace the word department, so it's the Office of Human Rights in the resolution as it is in the title. All right. Any discussion? So this means that the public hearing will be on July 16th. That's our next legislative meeting. So the group that's working on the revisions, I know Jonathan is hard at work on those in Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. So the group that's working on the charter language, that should continue, and somehow that language needs to be made public before the public hearing, right? Who's here working? I know Amanda, Leslin, who else is working? Henry? So you're working on that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Kathy?
And that local law still needs to go through the two committees. Health and Human Services and Government Operations.
Okay. Before the public hearing?
Yes.
Before the public hearing?
Early in July, yes.
Okay. Anna?
I just wanted to thank, we do have one member of the commission here tonight who has sat through the entire meeting, Kathy Bergen, waiting for this resolution to come through patiently. So I wanted to thank you for being here and watching the whole process. And it should be a very solid, strong commission once we have all the pieces in place. So.
Well, if I'd known that was why and who, that would brought that forward.
But we're so fascinating. You know?
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we know. Right.
All right. She's a lawyer, so she doesn't have a very high threshold for entertainment.
From one lawyer to another.
All right. Anything else on K? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Anything else, Mike?
No.
All right, thank you. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Deborah Dawson, Chair.
Yes, we have not met since the last legislative meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday afternoon at 1:30. In addition to the usual presentations from DPS and administration, we will be hearing from a group of local green groups who would like to talk about net zero buildings. We'll be learning more about antibiotic-free meats and emergent pollutants and our like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Deborah. Questions? All right. Thank you very much. Jason, how was the graduation?
It was good. Thank you.
Wow. And you came back.
It's great. How big was the class?
Like 10 kids.
You already posted on Facebook?
Yeah. My wife's on top of that.
Okay.
It was good.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you. Welcome back. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we'll meet on June 21st. That's this Friday at 9. Remember that time, folks. And we're going to start out with the auditors, I believe, as Rick has talked to us about. And that's going to be probably the major part of the meeting. Also, we will be taking up the TC3 budget. The good news on that line is that the Budget Committee in Cortland did vote to support the request of the college for the 5% increase in the local share. And so ours would be that as well. So if we had, if both counties adopt this, they will get the extra money.
Any questions for Mike? Annie and then Henry.
I just want to comment that thank you for sharing that. The news is especially glad to hear about Cortland County and the increase.
Henry?
I think it was a 5-1 vote in their committee.
That's amazing.
That was good.
Henry.
Yeah, I was going to ask, since it was 5-1 committee, is that any indication that it will pass during the full legislature?
George is on that committee.
I guess there's no certainty, but the feedback I had from some of the legislators was it was look good.
Okay.
Jason, is there any conversation with TC3 about a capital or some other way of us helping them out the way we have in the past?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's all. All right. Got it. Thank you. All right. Mike, you have L?
Yes, I do. That's Resolution L, increase in the 2020 fiscal target, Department of Human Resources. That's 8668. I so move it.
Seconded by Glenn Morey. Mike Lane.
This is coming back to us from last time when I withdrew it because we had some questions about the reorganization in the Human Resources Department. The recommendation is to go ahead with this, to simply give the extra money so we can hire the person for this year and to spend a little more time looking at the reorganization.
All right. Discussion? All right, Mike, you shut them up. All right. Are we ready to vote? Jason, did you want to?
Nope.
Henry?
Is this why we invited Amy here?
Yes, Amy's here if you have questions.
So,
Henry, did you have a question?
Well, I'm just wondering whether or not we should invite Amy to come speak, because there was a question about the recruitment position and what it involved.
Be glad to invite her up if you'd like to hear from her.
Sure.
Sure. So your question is about, which is not this position, but...
That was taken out.
Okay, it was taken out, but then fine.
Okay.
So thank you for coming, Amy.
Okay, Anna? You had your hand up?
No. Nope.
Okay, ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Thank you very much. And Amy, thank you. Thank you, and good luck with the next hire. Appreciate it. All right.
Martha?
Yeah. Rich?
While Amy is here, I did want to say thank you to you and your department for the presentation you worked really hard on explaining civil service, the process, and it was, I thought, a really informative presentation. So appreciate the effort.
Thank you so very much, and I will be disseminating materials to other members who were not able to attend. We will hold additional sessions. Thank you for being here.
Mike Lane.
One thing I did want to mention, too, is that collective bargaining negotiations are continuing with the deputy sheriff's unit, and we actually had a meeting today. Our group is very well organized, and I think so is theirs, and I'm optimistic, let's put it that way.
Good. Thank you very much, Mike. We're going to try to move quickly so that by 7:30-ish we can take a recess, which is when Jim Blizzard likes to change off the video. So let me go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
I have no report. We're going to meet next week.
Wednesday.
Okay.
There.
All right. That's a report. Thank you, Leslin. Housing and Economic Development Committee, Anna Kellis, Chair.
We also have not met since the last legislative meeting, and we have a meeting next Thursday at 9:30 in the morning, not too painfully early. That is June 27th.
All right. Thank you, Anna. Complete Census Count Committee.
We did meet earlier this week. I think it was, last week. I'm trying to remember. And we invited Kate Dillon from the Census Bureau, whose office is in Binghamton. She brought a lot of information for us. She's going to be a regular at our meetings. We talked about things like setting up a large group meeting to invite folks that have an interest in this census topic to participate, and she would be helping us with a presentation at that point. We're looking at early August for that. We're going to have monthly meetings until census time. One of the things, the one thing that she did tell us, which was a pleasant information, was that it's not going to be required that everybody has to do it online. There will be the possibility of telephoning in the questions, the responses to the questions, I should say. And there's also, if they are not, if they do not respond, they will send people out to look for them, to count them. And they are looking to hire 300 people in Tompkins County as part of this census project. These are part-time jobs, and they pay $17 an hour. So folks out there listening, if you're interested in doing this kind of work, helping the Census Bureau, please look into this at Workforce.
What's the duration of that? Like, when are they starting?
I would think, well, I guess I'm not sure exactly, but I would think it's going to be beginning of the year.
I'm trying to think about my calendar, so. Henry?
Mike, I know that I read somewhere that that some census groups were already using the citizenship question as a tester. Do you know any information about that, whether they'll use a citizenship question or not use a citizenship question? Before the court decides next week.
I don't know, other than that is a question that's on the proposed census survey, and it is in front of the Supreme Court. So I don't know anybody who's actually using it at this point.
I think that the Census Bureau had to test it.
Right.
Maybe that's what you're thinking, that they, and they do that with all new questions, I understand, that every 10 years, they or maybe during the whole period, they're testing the validity of different measures, different questions. Okay. I don't know if that's what you heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The survey will be shorter. They aren't going to have the long form this year because of the, and I forgot the terminology they used for, they update this kind of information on a regular basis now, and they get it from a different kind of survey that they do.
Also, they're paying $17 an hour, and this is from the federal government?
That's right.
Okay.
Part-time now.
Part-time, but the federal minimum.
I don't think there's any pension.
But the federal minimum wage is much lower than that.
Is it?
Okay.
I just brought it up.
I guess
Sorry.
This is skilled work. I don't know. All right. Anything else for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the update. Downtown Facilities Committee, Glenn Morey, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. Our first meeting of the Downtown Facilities Committee was held on June 4th here in Chambers. We started off the committee with a public comment, and there's two public comments. Their concerns were for the Sears Street residents, and that we would have the meetings at a more convenient time so everybody can join in, and that we keep our neighbors or the neighbors informed at all times. After the public comment, we went into executive session to discuss the proposed acquisition, sale, or lease of real property, which we're going to be discussing tonight. One of the major tasks of the committee includes the scope of the committee, where the committee must consider the size of the building, departments that will move into the building, parking requirements and whether the properties located in Sears Street are going to be just for parking, residential, or both. Jason presented an updated information on North Tiagara Street property. Papers were signed in the week of May 13th, and the closings will be around end of August. All tenants will leave by the closing date. The tenants now have a month-to-month lease, and it's been going on for the last year. The county does not anticipate renewing the leases with the tenants, and facilities will be secured in the building after the county closes. Parking will be one of the first decisions for the property. If we use the existing parking space, who should be assigned to the parking spaces? Legislature, management, or confidential staff? If we do have parking, we're going to need MOA with the union. We need to block off Sears Street. We need lighting for the parking lot. We need signage for the parking lot. And we may have to do some minor repairs for the parking lot. If we don't want parking there, then we're just going to have to block off the parking lot for everything. Much of the committee's time was spent reviewing scenarios for the Tioga Street property characterized as draft test sits. Jason presented three scenarios, and they are scenarios, for the North Tioga Street property in collaboration with Hope Architects. These three scenarios focus on internal building options, considering operational synergies among departments and public contact. All options would accommodate county needs within the three-story building. Departments needing public access, such as county clerk, board of elections, and human resources, would be located on the first floor. GIS-related departments, such as planning, assessment, and IT, would be located on the second floor, and the county administration would be located on the third floor. All scenarios would free up the old jail for the DA's office. And our next meeting will be held July 22nd at 4 p.m. at the county legislature chambers. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Discussion or questions? A complete report. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And then the other meetings we set subsequent after July 22nd set for an afternoon also. So.
Yes, 22nd.
July 22nd. That's a Monday, right? Okay. Deborah.
Do we have any idea if how soon the state wants to get additional space in the courthouse?
Jason?
We have had conversations with the Office of Court Administration, and the question we pose to them is the state going to be looking to take more space that we currently occupy there in the next several years? The answer to that was yes. They want to engage this fall in doing kind of what I guess would be a phase three study of the first two phases that have been done over the past 10 years. But it looks like they're going to want to grow into several areas that we currently are in the basement. And possibly the third floor. So based on that conversation is kind of what led some of the discussion of not finishing the basement for the DA's office and moving the DA completely out of the building. So we haven't gotten any details as to exactly what they're looking to do. They identified some of this, I want to say, quite, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they did the last series of improvements, that there would be a third phase to this review, and that's what they want to start this fall.
And they are... My guess is they know we're working on this facility study. They want to put their marker in. They're not, in our experience, they have been very patient. They wanted to know that we were working on it when we moved it from there over here. They wanted to know that we were working through the issues, and they wanted to be updated, but they were very patient about it because it took a long time from beginning to end.
Well, no, the timing's very helpful. I just wondered if they're planning taking over the whole building.
It will ultimately lead to the discussion of if you were to vacate, you obviously move the county clerk out. If you move the DA's office out, then they'll have, then they'll have the whole building.
Okay, thank you.
The other discussion piece is, you know, if there's another judge that's put in there, that has to be space that's to be freed up.
I think it was Joe Mariana who coined the term "we're being evicted by our own tenants."
Yes, that's a good analogy.
Right.
For the most part.
But remembering that was it decades ago that deal was that they took over the staffing as long as counties would, this is a statewide deal, as long as counties would provide the space. And they could have, and I suppose still could, demand that we build them a whole building. So we're nice to them. We try to be nice to them. Yeah. Arel works closely with them. Henry?
And I assume they haven't talked about additional parking.
There hasn't been, and Arel doesn't feel that at this point, I say at this stage of the game, that the extra space may not result in extra staff. Mm-hmm. It may result in extra meeting space for different courts and an attorney client. So it doesn't seem like at this stage there would be additional staff that would be needed. So what that means, I don't think there's going to be, right now, an impact on parking.
Anything else for Glenn? Thank you very much. Thanks, Glenn. Can I get a motion on the minutes of June 4th, 2019? Moved by Leslin, seconded by Anna. Any comments, discussion? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you so much. I would like to ask for a motion to go into executive session to talk about real estate negotiations. Does that cover it? Okay. Moved by Deborah, seconded by Shauna. All in favor of executive session, please raise your hands. Any opposed? All right. We do not expect to go to take any action after the executive session. So I would like to ask for a 10-minute recess while we shut down the cameras. Thank you very much.